Welcome to Surviving Life with Danny Vambili, standing here for myself and my lovely wife, Letitia Vambili, who is not with us in the building right now. And for those of you who tuned in last week, I did announce that we had a brand new baby. So Letitia will be joining us when she is done with her maternity leave. And she is doing well. You know, some of you would want to ask, how's mommy and baby? Mommy's doing well, baby's doing well. And yeah, daddy is also staying up at night with mommy. It's always such a good time. Today, our topic is quite an interesting one. I hope we will not just learn together, but maybe it could be a growing moment for us. The topic that the Lord placed on my heart is the Christianity we want versus the Christianity we have. I hope you're ready for that. Okay, so where do I start? Let me start from the beginning. You've got Danny Vambili, 17 years old, walking up to the altar, getting saved. And what I'm hearing and at that time is Jesus has paid the price, and you know, my sins have been forgiven. You know, so what I'm also hearing is, wow, this means the end of all my problems. This means that, you know, from here it's easy sailing. Everything will come, every prayer will be answered. Basically, God is not going to be my genie, you know. You know, you just rub it, the genie on the side, like you see in those movies, Aladdin and all of that. And, you know, he's supposed to answer prayers. So every prayer will be answered the way I wanted, when I wanted. My wife is going to look the way I want. My life will be shaped the way I want. Everything I say will come to pass. So basically, I'm God and he's the genie. That's the Christianity a lot of us came into, or what we'd hoped for. And slowly you learn that no, dummy. He is God. He's not your genie. And he answers according to his will. And suddenly, wait a minute, but you guys, you promised me an easy life, easy Christianity, our version of it, our version of the devil, our version of suffering, which is no suffering at all, our version of life, you know, which is all the finer things, the trips to Cape Town, the perfect children. But that's not how we got. And that's why I'm calling a meeting with the saints. You know, like in scripture, we'll read the saints in Corinth saints. And now they're called the Corinthians. So today we're having a meeting with the Gauteng saints. The Gauteng saints, please let us sit down. There's a Christianity some of us have been promised. Some of us promised ourselves. You know, let's leave the pastors out of this, because when you want something, when you have a desire, someone can say something and you can hear another. they can give you the Jesus, but you're like, does this Jesus allow me to identify as a cat? You know, so that's the version I want. So then they tell you, oh, no, my brother, for this one, you know, for you, we'll give it for $350. Yeah, the Jesus we have will cost you your whole life, you know, but the one you want, no, just give us $350. The Jesus we want versus the one we got. That's the topic for today. Do not change the dial. I want to hear from you. What did you expect and what did you get? 071-364-0376. Which Christianity did you come into? What was your expectation? What was the Christianity you wanted, and what did you get?
Tune in on the Impact 103 app.
All right, we introduced our topic for today, the Christianity we wanted versus the Christianity we got. One of the first points I want to make with this very first link is the Christianity we wanted was supposed to be a sprint, but we got a marathon. We wanted a sprint. We wanted to run, just to pray now. And you know, a sprint is over in a couple of seconds. But we found out that no. There's actually a marathon. And this marathon it's not like the two oceans that happens for a day. It's a marathon that will happen for your whole life. And we are uncomfortable with the idea that this God isn't a once-off event. You know, it's not, I ran my race quickly, I'm done, give me everything I want. No, instead, this marathon is lifelong. You know, on my way to the station today, I made a stop at one of the shops I shop at, and someone called me and said, you know, Pastor, can you quickly pray for me? I've got this issue. And as she explained the issue, it was a deeply spiritual issue where she's getting physical attacks on her body. And she just said, you know, let's go somewhere at the corner where we can stand and pray and this thing will be over. But the Lord said to me, no. This isn't a short-term situation. This is a long-term issue that we need to deal with. And I asked her, I'm like, but have you not done something that's worked? So she said, no, when I'm in prayer, this thing leaves me. But when I stop praying, it comes back. And I can spend some time praying and, you know, really fighting spiritually, and then after a while, I stop, and when I stop, it comes back. And the Lord confirmed again in my spirit, she wants a sprint when she's in the marathon. And this is what I'm saying with us. Guys, we want easy solutions. We want the microwave version of our life, where you pray one prayer, this thing is sorted. But think of it from the devil's perspective. You know, I'm not playing the devil's advocate, but I'm just saying from his perspective, because I'm only an angel's advocate. Let's take it like this. He's got rights in your life to oppress you for whatever reason. Let's say maybe this there's something you did, and I'm going to be very deep now. So let's say you were involved in the occult and you opened certain doors, and those doors are still open. Maybe they gave you a snake and you want to keep the snake, and at the same time you want Jesus in your life. There's no way the enemy is not going to use the open door to try to oppress you. Maybe alcoholism is a thing in your family. There's no way the enemy will say, no, alcoholism worked in this bloodline, but no, don't use it. That's not fair. You know, let's give him a fair chance. No. The enemy will say, look, we've got a foothold. The Bible actually says, don't give the enemy a foothold. So if he sees he's got a foothold somewhere, he will attempt to use it. So what we want to do is we want to pretend there's no foothold. It's just a sprint. I'm going to make one prayer, I'll be fine. That's not how it works, beloved. We wanted a quick solution, but what we found was the Holy Spirit wants to lead us out. It's like the children of Israel. I am sure They did not want the desert. They were like, we getting out of here, promised land the next day. No. After the Red Sea was the journey to the promised land, and only two made it. Beloved, it's a marathon. So at least if you know it's a marathon, you can prepare better. You can know, I'm not going to tire myself out. I need a lifestyle change, not an event. Are you hearing me? You need a lifestyle change, not an event. Not one when you feel good. Okay, now you're going to have seasons where you're praying. And then when you're not feeling good, you stop praying. No, we need to pace ourselves. The Christianity we wanted versus what we got.
This is Music to Live By on Impact 103.
You're still with Mr. Danny Van Billy. And yes, we are talking about the Christianity you wanted versus what you got. You know, so if you're tuning in now and you're thinking about what does it even mean? It means what you thought you were going to find and what the reality of Christianity is. Now, mind you, this is the problem that starts with you. We can trace this back to the disciples. The disciples, when they realized this is the Messiah, they wanted the Jesus that will raise an army and overthrow Rome. Because they were like, oh my, the Messiah is here. Let's go overthrow Rome. But guess what they got? They got a humble servant leader who washed their feet. And now this didn't make sense. They thinking, no. We need to go and get Caesar kicked out. And you're going to be the Messiah. This is how you're going to rule. But Jesus knew this is their perception. And I think with us as believers, we've watched Marvel movies and, you know, we've got this our Hollywood idea of what a hero should be. So we wanted a superhero version of Jesus. Obviously, without the tights. So we've even drawn him with the long hair like Superman. And, you know, we've expected him to behave in the way that we would want. We want him to be an Avenger. Even though Avenger is actually the name of a demon in scripture. But that's a different topic. And it becomes weird when you're now following the Jesus that you think and you want superhero behavior, but he's calling you into humility. What do I mean by that? There are situations where you think you should fight and he tells you, no, forgive. You're like, wait a minute. I'm the leader here. I should be, you know, ahead. And he's like, no, in my kingdom, those who are high, those with the higher calling serve. And you're thinking, but no, they should wash my feet. And Jesus is saying, no, you, the leader, are called to wash the feet of the flock. And it is so humbling to see how it works. You know, I'll never forget a couple years back, I was working with a school and the Lord told me to take the boys on a school camp. And we'd gone to this camp. And one of the missions the Lord gave me for that weekend was to simply wash their feet. And you're thinking, okay, Lord, shouldn't we have a powerful sermon on how they need to change because there was a drug problem in the school and, you know what the children are getting up to. But beloved, I must tell you, that night when we executed what the Lord had said, no cell phones, should be present that evening. We had just a small gentle sermon, and the Lord said we should wash the feet. As these boys would have their feet washed, they started crying. They started it was like the Holy Spirit did the job. And immediately we saw conversion. Without powerful sermons, without guilt tripping them, just the humble way that Jesus said, wash their feet, worked. Now, intellectually, it doesn't make sense. We want intellect. We want superhero. We want, you know, our superheroes. They say the right thing. They stand up front. They tone up. You know, they've got the six pack. And here we are with the big bellies. Simply washing feet. Beloved, let go of the superhero version of Jesus you have. And allow the simplicity in his humility to do the work. Because we are not here to get our own version of Jesus. We are here to find the one that is sufficient in Scripture and to follow him. I want to hear from you. You can send me your WhatsApps 071-364-0376. What did you think Christianity was going to be? And what have you found? How has that touched you? Graham, you sent me a message. I will address it when I come back. You still hang out with Mr. Vambili, standing in for myself, Letitia Vambili as well, who is out on maternity, who will be back with us very soon. We're talking about the Christianity we wanted versus what we got. You know, I got saved in a church that was quite modern, and the pastor was really a visionary. He wanted to expose us to a different way of thinking. So we were reading the Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and, you know, really changing our mindset. So slowly I began to expect a Jesus that would give me a formula. So my next step here is we wanted a formula Jesus. What does that mean? We wanted 10 steps to beat your problem Jesus. We wanted how to no longer have financial problems Jesus. So, and then in that season, a lot of books were coming out. 10 Steps to Manhood, 11 Steps to Financial Prosperity, 8 Steps to... So we wanted a formula Jesus. And we were reading book to book, whether it was... And I'm talking great pastors like your Miles Monroe's who were just brilliant. You know, we found... The steps, the Creflo Dollars. I don't know if you guys remember that season where, you know, I'm talking about 20 years ago. You know, I'm giving off my age here, but it's all good. We wanted the steps. And what we found was there was no formula Jesus. There was no formula Christianity. There was a Holy Spirit-led Christianity. And bam, suddenly it doesn't make sense, because the one person gets saved and immediately all their drug issues are gone. The other person gets saved and they still have to work through it. Wait, what's the formula here? I thought we both got saved. The one person sows and overnight they are a financial success. The other person sows and the Lord still wants them to walk through a different process. And suddenly the formulas we were sold do not work. Because we wanted what God did in someone else's life, the way he did it, how he did it, where he did it. And if I can just apply it, then maybe it will jump into my life. Sadly, we didn't get a formula, Jesus. We didn't get a Christianity that had 10 steps to freedom. We got a Holy Spirit-led Christianity, which, if you think about it, is better because it's tailor-made to your specific situation, where the Lord wants to walk you through what is actually operational in you. And sometimes it's things you don't even know. How will you know if you're struggling with pride? You wouldn't know. If you were someone who struggles with shame, you don't even know. But the Holy Spirit wants to dissect. He wants you to walk through what is specific to you. But guess what? I just want my formula Jesus. I want my three steps Jesus. I'm in a church. The church said, if I do 1, 2, 3. And sometimes also a lot of people have lost their faith because 5 steps did not work. This one fasted 40 days, got a result. You fasted 40 days, copying the one who fasted 40 days, and you didn't get the same results. Does that mean God is not true? Does that mean that Christianity is a lie? No. Were you led to do that? What is the leading? What is the specific steps that the Lord has put in place for you, Peter? Were you meant to deny him before you actually come back and become the rock on which the church will be built on? Because sometimes we want perfect stories. We want Christians who never made mistakes, but Peter did. Sometimes we want a Thomas to never go through denying and saying, hey, I'm going to only believe if I put my finger through it. But that was Thomas. Thomas needed that journey. We want everyone to be John. But guess what? There's a Paul. So the Holy Spirit will cater your journey. He will tailor make your journey. You know what tailor make means? It's literally fitting to your body, fitting to your calling. So sometimes when we want our 10-step Christianity, our 10-step Jesus, we need to embrace the fact that we are going to find a Holy Spirit-led Christianity, a Holy Spirit-led Jesus, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to what journey we personally have to walk. Let go of your pastor's journey. Let go of your best friend's journey. If it worked for them, it's because that's what the Lord wanted them to go through. There's a specific plan for you. And it might go down to the valleys of the shadow of death where it looks like it's the end. But it is God's plan. And you need to trust him. The Christianity we wanted versus the one we got.
Good morning, Mr. Bavili and fellow Christian sisters and brothers. When I joined Christianity, I thought Christianity is free of problems, free of everything, only to find that Christianity is life with peace. You are free from worrying because you know God is there. You don't have to worry about the earthly things because all the burdens, everything that comes heavy, you give it to God. Is not like it's, you don't have problems. I thought if you are a Christian, you follow the rules, you won't have problems. It's not like that. The only thing, you know God is there for you. In any storm, in any challenges, you know God is there. Sophia, I'm listening from my car, driving to work. Thank you.
Sophia, thank you. Thank you so much for that. Send me your voice notes. What did you think it was? And what did you find? You know, in the era when I got saved, there was something called the prosperity gospel. Now, I want to balance the statement. I'm not saying that the Lord calls you into poverty. There is no such thing as a poverty anointing. But there is also what I would like to call a pay-as-you-go Christianity. Are you hearing me? You know how when you're buying airtime and you're on like a pay-as-you-go plan, so when you've not paid, you can't make calls, and when you've paid, you've got access? The prosperity gospel went into that direction, where you would have this amazing sermon preached, and at the end, if you do not sow, you can't participate. You can't take. In fact, it even got specific. Some of the preachers will say, if you don't sow $100 seed, there you are listening from South Africa. $100 is literally times 18. You're in high school, or you're jobless, and you're like, but God, you preached this amazing sermon. You gave this man or woman of God such an amazing sermon. Now I cannot partake because I do not have the ability to pay as you go. And a lot of us sat and for many years wondered, can I really participate? How can I receive when I don't have the means to pay as you go? But I want to tell you that that is not the Christianity that is found in Scripture. The Christianity we wanted was a pay as you go. Because remember, when you have money, pay as you go Christianity is good. Because why are you thinking I can just pay and connect and now I will receive? And then a lot of people paid as you go, but never got what they paid for, and their hearts turned from the Lord. Because this Christianity is not a pay as you go Christianity. Instead, it's an obedience Christianity. What do I mean by that? Sometimes the Lord will say, I don't want your money. I want you. I want your character. You're like, no, God, let me buy you. Let me sow. I don't want you to sow. I want your heart. And others who do not want to sow, maybe you are stingy, the Lord would tell you sow. Because there's a stinginess in you that I'm trying to break. So it's about obedience. On the left, the Lord will give one instruction. On the right, the Lord will give a different instruction. It is not pay as you go. It's not because you paid, you will receive. God is not on your paycheck. God is not on your paycheck. You can't afford him. You cannot think you can possibly bribe God. I don't care who told you what. It is only through obedience. And obedience looks different. In some places, it requires money. At some places, it just requires a humble prayer. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And you know, you spend more time on Netflix than prayer. And all the Lord is asking you to do is to pray. Why? Because he knows where you are. Sometimes obedience is forgive. Sometimes obedience is go. Abraham, leave your house and go. Sometimes obedience is stay. Obedience has no pay-as-you-go formula, though some will sow and they will reap. Some are called to finance the kingdom. And I believe there are financial principles that we should never neglect. Danny Vambili, I believe in tithing. I believe in giving. I believe in supporting ministers. I believe in supporting institutions like Impact Radio. Guys, please, if you're listening and you're blessed by Impact Radio, SMS us. Say, I want to support Impact Radio on 071-364-0376. A lot of people have been called, you know, to use a widow's mite. It can be 100 rand, whatever it is. But once you treat your giving as a pay-as-you-go system, that now because I give, I qualify, you make your giving compete with the works of the cross. And that is not right. Beloved, there is no giving you would give to outdo what Christ gave on the cross. So, let us let go of that pay-as-you-go Christianity and come back to the one where He paid so we can have life and life more abundantly. We can never buy God, but we can be good stewards. We can support ministries financially. We can support the poor. Before you even speak, don't just speak ministries. Speak about the poor. Speak about the fatherless. Speak about the widows that are in our communities that require us. The drug addicts, the children, the fathers who are unemployed. We are called to do as the Lord leads us. And it will look different from person to person, but with obedience comes our gift. Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. It's that part of the show where we get to listen to your feedback, to read your messages. And here's the first one. Mia, take it away.
Hi, Impact Radio. It's Mia here. I was just listening to Sophia. I totally agree with her. Also, just to put it out there, you know, before I did the first year Bible college, I thought Christianity was more of a religion, as per se. But I came to learn that Christianity is actually not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus. It doesn't mean to say that we're not going to face hard times. But at the end of the day, Jesus overcame the world, so He will help us to overcome. Much love to all of you. God bless.
All right. Thank you so much for that. And then we've got a couple of messages that came in here. Michael Calvin said, "Hi, Danny. God is more interested in our character than our comfort. We come as we are, but we don't get to stay as we are. We are molded in the furnace of affliction, and God knows at what temperature we are ready to be molded." Taylor made for sure. Thank you so much for that. Unfortunately, Michael, a lot of us do not know that there's affliction somewhere in our journey. Ricardo said, "Shalom, Pastor. The teaching is good. Put a fire emoji. Don't stop now." And then Graham was the first message that came in today. And this is what he said. "Good day. After my salvation, the devil threw some huge problems at me regarding my properties that I was renting out. And against expectations, God was quiet. I realized now that He had given me authority regards." Then he adds, he says, "Praise God, what I got about that time was, the problem is your heart and you must put your relationship with your wife right. Regards." Now, I love that, Graham, because sometimes, hey, when the devil can see that the problem between you and your wife, there's disagreement, he finds a way to touch your properties. And you're thinking, yeah, but I'm saved. Why are my properties being touched? And why is the Lord allowing my properties to be touched? And God is saying, until you fix the issues with your wife, I'm not intervening. Because the Lord knows those are things that you can let linger for so long, and that open door will just be there. But when it hits you in the pocket, you fix it quickly. And others might think, because we saved, there'll be no problems. No. There are things the Lord allows to get us back on track. And I love how in Graham's situation, and I'm being specific, in Graham's situation, it was the relationship with his wife that the Lord wanted him to get right. Our WhatsApp number, 071-364-0376. I want to hear from you. What was the perceptions of Christianity you had? What did you think you were walking into? And what did you find? And you might add, how did it help you? How did that the trouble, how did that long-term problem end up becoming something that helped you? Do send us a WhatsApp, 071-364-0376. And maybe you're listening and you're realizing, I've been taking my afflictions the wrong way. Then send us a WhatsApp as well, 071-364-0376. You can send us a voice note. You can type. If you send a voice note, please, it can be 20 minutes long. Try to keep it within the 1 minute length, 1 minute, maybe 30 seconds if it must really be long. But I want to hear from you, because a lot of us, though we did find a different thing, in the long term, what we found worked for us even better than what we expected. Stay tuned, Luiso, something good. You're still hanging out with Mr. Van Billy, and we are talking the Christianity we expected, the one we wanted, the way we saw it going down versus what we found. Now, my next point is going to be so specific to our time and age, what we're dealing with now. We wanted Christian idols. But we found God using men and women who were just like us. And it infuriated us. Let me explain to you this point of thinking. When you've got an idol, you think this person sleeps upside down, man. Maybe they wash in milk every morning. Maybe they last sinned in 1993, before apartheid ended in South Africa. You put your idols on a pedestal. You think my idol probably, was washing Nelson Mandela when he was a baby. And that's how my pastor got anointed. That's how the man of God, the woman of God, and all these idols you put, and then you meet them. And you realize, my pastor has a anger problem just like me. How's God using that person? This person is not qualified to lead. Or you're like, my pastor is not organized, just like my father or my uncle. No, he can't be a woman of God. And our idols begin to crack right in front of us. And it is worse when you find out that your idol is just like you, because now you must take accountability, and maybe God can also use you. But you want to self-disqualify. You want to have excuses. You want to tell God, no, God, I stutter. God, I mama. No, God, I can't really speak well. So, no, God, you can't use me. But now your idol is showing you that, no, they just like you, and it's killing your excuses. So you delete them. You delete men and women of God when you find out they have problems, because Maybe if God can use them, he can use you. Uh-oh. We want to put people on pedestals. So we excuse ourselves from taking the walk of faith. We want to tell ourselves that God is using that one because that one is perfect. And yeah, no, I've got an excuse. I'm not like Danny. I'm not like Pastor Hoo Hoo. I'm not like. And then you sit down somewhere and you continue having a pity party. But when God reveals that he's using men and women just like you, you get angry, you delete them. But the truth is, they are convicting you to say, if God can use them, maybe all the excuses you've been making is invalid. When our Christians' idols break, we find out that they are just like us. They have the same fears that they have to trust God with. They have the same limitations. They have the same shortcomings. They are just human like you. So why don't you trust God and allow God to allow you to walk in your calling? Why don't you, instead of using the shortcomings of your idols to stay out of your purpose, why don't you use it to qualify? Why don't you say, if God could use them, he can use me? And all the things I thought were my disqualifications actually might be my qualifications, because God does not called the qualified, but he qualifies the called. In other words, God's not looking at you where you are right now. He knows where he wants to take you. Let your idols crumble and accept that God can use you. If he used a donkey, he can use you. I know what I'm saying is specifically for you, because you've had so many reasons why not you. Today on the show, I want to take the exact reasons you used to say, not me, Father, to say, yes, you. Because Paul was a murderer. And guess what? You may be a liar, but God can use you. And he can change you. You might have fallen short. God can use you. You might think you are not the one, but God wants you. If that's you, I need you to send me a message on 071-364-0376. Say, Danny, I accept my calling. Just say, I accept. Oh, no more excuses. Say, no more excuses. And when you send that WhatsApp, I'm going to pray that the Lord holds you up, that he brings people around you that will encourage you. No more excuses. Accept your calling. You're on 103 FM. You hang out with Danny Van Billy, Michael W. Smith, Something in My Heart. You with Mr. Van Billy, and we are listening to your messages. Okay, guys, some of the messages, I'm going to play them slightly a bit faster, because this one, I really want you to hear it, but Elizabeth, it's 3 minutes. But we're going to play it slightly fast, and just because I think what she said is so valuable. Elizabeth, thank you for this one. Let's go in.
Good afternoon, Danny. It's Elizabeth here. This is a great topic. I really enjoy it. When people invite you to church and say, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior, you think this is a free ride. Let me live my life and join. You don't have nothing in your mind, only to find the Lord and live your life. After being born again, there were challenges, spiritual battles. And I was asking myself, what's this? Then my daughter got sick. Hey, what's this? why? And I remember I kneeled down before God. I was like, God, why did you call me? Did you call me for this? Then later when I read the scripture in that same week, there was the scripture that says, many are the trials of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver you from them all. Oh, but there were many battles. But thank God, the Holy Spirit was there to teach me, to guide me. When sometimes I was weak and I wanted to give up, he was there showing me the word. You know, I committed to God. The battles were tough. They were tough. There was a time when somebody used something on me. They thought I'm going to die. But the Lord spoke to me. You know, this person just cooked something. Yeah? And then they gave it to me. I was from church. They asked me first, are you from church? I said, yeah. Well, we cook salads for you and veggies. Come in and face them. And then I went there. I faced them. On my way to my mom's place, I was still staying with my mom. The Lord spoke to me, said, is either you want to live or die. If you eat this food, you're going to die. And I realized, oh, when we serve the Lord, or when we receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, it's a spiritual battle. We are fighting, not against flesh and blood, as the Bible says, we are fighting spirits that want to take control. Now God has set you free. They want you back. They are fighting to get you. But God is good. He's fighting the battle. That is why the Bible says the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord. Greater is he that is in us than the one that is in the world. God bless you. Bye.
Did you guys hear that? Elizabeth was poisoned literally after church. We would think, you know, I'm from church, you know, so all is good. But no, someone poisoned her and the Lord told her, do not eat that food or you will die. I mean, if that's not a testimony, I don't know what is. Here's another one. Also, Wamari, I believe. Let's get straight into it.
I got saved, and then seven months later, while we were at prayer, during a prayer chain, they stole my work vehicle with all of the tools in it. And then literally 2 weeks later, they smashed and grabbed me. They stole my brand new phone. I've had the phone for 3 weeks. They stole that. And then about 3 or 4 months later, they stole my laptop out of my work vehicle again. And they stole my new Bible with as well. So then out of that, I learned through every single one of them, I learned a lesson. First, I thought God was punishing me. He doesn't love me. I thought, God, then if this is Christianity, I thought I was protected. I'm a Christian now. I thought I was protected. I thought that none of this is going to happen. But then after the third time, I realized that life still happens, but God protected me. It could have been so much worse. When they stole my bike, they could have hijacked me and shot me. When they smashed and grabbed me, they could have killed me. I was a woman alone driving at night. And then when the third time hit, I wasn't as upset, but I was still disgruntled. And then I thought, okay, you know, they took my Bible, so maybe they needed my Bible a bit more than I do. So it taught me how to look for being thankful even when things go bad. He taught me to be thankful because it could have been worse. Yes, it sucks, but it could have been worse.
Well, Marie, you know, your message is such a story I've heard before. And I just want to test this. I want to test this with our listeners. How many of you, when you got saved, suddenly things started going wrong? And you started thinking, oh my goodness, what is this Christianity thing? You know, should I even be a Christian? You almost want to pull back. And there's attack after attack. And I like what she's saying. A car broken into. I experienced some of those things myself. And it's almost like the enemy tries to get you to pull out. To pull out. So I really want to do a poll, because I want to check if this is a strategy of the enemy that maybe we can expose. Because there's someone who just got saved and they thinking, I need to quit because maybe I've done something wrong. And no. I want you to see for yourself how many people got attacked after they got saved. Send me, just say I got attacked, or me too, on 071-364-0376. This is our own Me Too movement. How many of you were attacked after you got saved? You know, and it was like there was a spirit or something trying to make you pull out of your confession, to just make you say, no, this Christianity is too much. I'm getting out of this. send me a WhatsApp or 713-640-376. Just say me too. Just say me too. I want to count and I want to call your names just so that someone who's listening will understand that there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing they've done wrong. But it's a strategy the enemy uses to try to get us all to quit. Michael, I see you. No more excuses. I accept my calling. This is from Ramokone Gololo. Thank you. Thank you. Swanky, no more excuses. I see you. We're going to pray with you guys. Wow, someone else, they didn't give me their name, but they said, I accept, Danny. Thank you for your ministerial voice of encouragement. But I want to hear from everyone. If you were attacked after getting saved, just send me, just say me too. You know, you can add your name there because I'm going to count. We're going to count how many people. Because guys, it's a strategy that aims to make other believers feel like, you know, maybe there's something wrong with me. I shouldn't get saved. I'm stuck. You know, my situation will never change. You know, I'm just going to die here. No, you're not. Brothers and sisters, let's hear from you. The number is 071-364-0376. If you were also attacked after you got saved, things tried to discourage you. Let's hear from you.
103.
You are on Impact Radio 103 FM. Sorry about that. And the messages are just coming in and they're just such powerful testimonies. And, you know, let me just read here. Helen. Helen said, please pray with me to always say God on his word and to stay focused. I have the tendencies to go back off every time things get tough. Helen, we need to pray. Anita says, me too. Batseba, me too. Graham, praise God. What I got about, okay. He says, I mean, I'm in tears because the devil made me run from God. Graham, we are going to pray with you. Someone else sent Josiah, hey, me too, with tears. But we definitely soldier on with the strength. Andile, me too. From Soshanguve. Grant, as per the last message, you can see that the attacks have not stopped. They've only gotten in the worst and worse and worse. But we still stay focused on God. Sina, also saying me too. Nashia Webb, she said no more excuses. Now, it's important for us to actually hear that we are not alone in this battle, because one of the strategies of the kingdom of darkness is to make you feel like you are the only one attacked and there's something you are doing wrong. And they begin to blame you for the attacks on your life. Imagine that. I'm attacking you and then blaming you for the attacks on your life. And a lot of us have went through stages, myself included, where the attacks were so much, I pulled away from God. So I'm not talking from a high horse. I want to encourage someone because I've walked that road where persecution was so much, I pulled away from the Lord. There's a testimony that's come in that I want us to listen to, because if you think you've gone through a hard phase and all of that, and you may be the only person or you think you're the worst Christian in the world, I want you to listen to this.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Claudine. My testimony started when, after I got saved, I ended up being arrested. I was incarcerated and I was in jail for a whole weekend, and it was apparently the scamsters that was working with the people that called the police, because they were actually codes with with the team of scamsters. So I ended up in jail for a whole weekend. And then after that, my eldest daughter fell ill. She was hospitalized for 6 months directly after Christmas, after New Year's, and they couldn't find out what was wrong with her. But I had to watch her deteriorate every single day when I went to the hospital. And months after she's been in hospital, they discovered that she actually had a virus that she picked up. I don't know if she picked it up in the hospital or where did she pick it up, but she picked up a virus that was eating away on her brain. 6 months after she was hospitalized, she passed away. And it left me in a state of depression for 7 years. I was dependent on antidepressants. As a Christian, that was not good. My son, which was very close with his sister, ended up being a drug addict for 7 years because he didn't want to go for counseling. My husband fell into a depression as well. And everything basically lasted for 7 years. But then after the 7 years, God came through, you know. And I must say, yeah, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I can just thank God that I knew him then. Otherwise, I do not know where my strength would have come from, you know, to bear all these things that happened to us. God bless you all.
So I got saved in 2021 after COVID, and then I got married to my husband.
So Tabisile sent us a message. I was trying to play it, but it's just a little bit soft. But Tabisile says she got saved during COVID 2021, and then she got married. And when they got married, she and her husband were under attack, and they're still under attack to a point where it even made them question if they were meant to get married, because their finances were under attack and the enemy just really came and attacked them. Tabisile, first of all, I cannot imagine what you're going through, though I've been through my own share of attack. I want to say to all of us, and I say this firmly, as I read the different messages here. Someone else actually said, "I thought I was cursed." This came from Agnes. Opa has also messaged saying, "Me too. I'm also in this thing, you know." Someone else said, I'm glad I got the station with me. It was my husband. It was as if he was seeing an animal. But my pastor explained to me that because I'm in the light, that's why those things are happening. Darkness and light does not meet. However, now I am fine and growing in the Lord every day. You know, and it's a true story. A lot of us, when we get saved, there is an attack. We are marked to say, make this person quit. Make this person believe there's something wrong with them. Make them believe that they cannot be children of God. Make them believe that this darkness is going to be forever. That the only way out is for them to quit. Is for them to go back to the oppression. Or, you know, if you were a drunkard, when you were a drunkard, you're like, yeah, but when I was a drunkard, nothing went wrong. And now that I'm a Christian, so maybe let me just go back. Beloved, it's a strategy that unfortunately works. And many believers have gone back. Now, I'm here today to tell you, no matter what you are going through, you have to hang on, and you have to hold on to your confessions. You know, we don't know how long your affliction will be for. We don't know. But you have to know that the Lord will not give you more than you can bear. Now, one of the ways that you can pull through this. Remember, we spoke earlier that it's not about formulas. But once you have a mindset that, you know what? The Lord is with me in my affliction. And instead of walking away from Him, let me run towards Him. Let me allow Him. You know, because the enemy is trying to harden your heart towards the Lord. The enemy is trying to tell you, you see, you got saved, nothing changed. You got saved, you know, what's the value? You know, go back to your old ways. And if that voice, I want to call it a ministry, it's a demonic ministry. If that ministry sits in your heart and turns your heart away from the Lord, they keep you there longer. They keep you there longer. We are not promised to be saved in a bubble away from affliction. But the Lord has promised us that He will be with us no matter what we have to go through. Now, let me share something with you that could encourage you. I myself went through many years of affliction, and I didn't understand what it was for until I started walking in ministry and God started bringing people who were afflicted for a long time. And guess what? Because I had been afflicted for a long time, I could have patience for them. You see, the Lord made me realize something. There were things I prayed for that went away quickly. And if that was the only experience I had, I would then have judged those who are going through long-term issues. I would have thought, your faith is small. Why is it that when I prayed, my thing went away? Another thing also is I wouldn't understand the strategy of the enemy, that he is playing the long game. The enemy is not yet to afflict you for one day and run away. No. He's hoping through persistent affliction, you will give up. But when you've been through it and you begin to realize, wait a minute, the aim is to tire us out. You learn and you have patience for others. You have compassion. You have understanding that, no, it's not that the person is not serious, or, you know, they're not serious about their faith, or they want to go back, but they are long-term problems in life. They are there. They are real. And if we are not patient, if we are not willing to look through the lens of someone else's problem, we dismiss them. You know, I've gotten to work with drug addicts, and you understand it takes time. It takes time. Those who are dealing with demonic oppression, it takes time, because you want to break a generational curse. The generational stronghold will not just let it be. It's going to take time. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take dismantling this thing that is long term. A long term freedom will take a long term fight. And if we make believers believe that this is a sprint, then they won't be prepared for the marathon. Beloved, there's nothing wrong with you. But you are a Joseph. You are called to solve a long-term problem. And that's why the enemy is persisting long-term with you. But don't make the long-term issue disqualify you in your heart to think you're not good enough, to think you are a failure. No, you are just dealing with a long-term demon that has had a long-term stronghold in your family. But you are going to win because you serve a God that is eternal. I've seen your messages, and I see a lot of you want to break free, and you are saying, me too, I'm ready to stand. And we are going to trust the Lord to bring strategies to teach you how to take your prayers to the courts of heaven. But if you can continue standing in the gap, the Lord will deliver you and your bloodline, because that's really what the enemy is fighting. He doesn't want you to bring deliverance into your bloodline. I'm going to pray right now, wherever you are. Let us stand together. Father God, you have seen your children who are in long-term problems where the enemy is fighting them. Father, we pray right now that you will encourage them to know that you are with them, that they are not defective. They are not children of God who are messed up and that have just gone wrong. But Lord, you are helping them dismantle a long-term problem in their families. Lord, we pray for restoration. We pray for a new chapter. And Lord, we pray that all of them will find solution, that they will not give up. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And we all said, amen. Guys, I have to go. It's the end of the show. There's a number, 081-640-9372. If you need help, if you need counseling, if you need people to stand with you for free, that's the team we've put together to walk with you, 081-640-9372. If you didn't get the number, you can always message and we're going to send it to you. I'm going to play out with the song, Jesus Blood. I love to play out with the song because it is filled with truth. And the blood of Jesus will never fail you. Do not give up. May God be with you. May God empower you. Do not allow the strategies of the enemy to win over your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.